this is an interview recorded with Barbara Haynes, née Ballantyne, for the Italian Market Gardeners Oral History Project. It's recorded on the 1st of September 2012 by Madeline Regan at Kidman Park. Also present is Ray Ballantyne, Barbara's brother. So Barbara, we're going to start by me asking you some background details. What is your full name?
My full name is Barbara Elizabeth Haynes now, and I was Ballantyne when I grew up.
And what is your date of birth?
22nd of April, 1935.
Thank you. And where were you born?
I was born, I think it was up on Henny Beach Road in an old hospital, private I think it was. Dad had to go up to Holbrooks Road because there was no bridge across where we lived. And when I finally got to the hospital with Mum, they had to hold me back with a towel because the doctor wasn't there. And that's where I was born.
That's a good piece of information. And do you know why your parents selected your names?
I think it was because Ray was born before me, and had I been the first child, I would have been named Ray. So I was called, I suppose, Mum like Barbara, and Elizabeth was named after my grandmother.
On your father or your mother's side?
On my mother's side, yes.
And can you tell me the full names of your parents?
Mum was called Muriel Langsford Ballantyne. She was Muriel Langsford Brown before she married Dad. Dad was called James Ballantyne, and he had no middle name. And that's about all I can say.
And your parents' backgrounds were quite different, I understand.
Yes, Mum came from McLaren Vale, stayed there, or they were at school at the McLaren, small school at McLaren Vale, and they had to walk to school. Apart from, I don't know much about my dad's schooling at all, because he was like born in Selkirk, Scotland, so that part is a bit blank.
And you know a little bit about your father's background before he came to Adelaide?
No, not really. I think the only that I know that Mum and Dad met in the dance, where there was lots of dances in the city then. I couldn't tell you the actual venue.
But you were telling me before about your father having been in Western Australia?
Oh, yes, yes. He was working on the railways, the railway line in Western Australia, and he worked in Tasmania on the getting the resin out of the blackboy bushes over there. And so I suppose after that it was more or less joining up in the Australian army for the First World War.
And do you know where he served?
I know he was in France sometime. He had what they call trench toes because they were in water most of the time in the dugouts and things like that. And
what were trench toes?
Very hard nails and sort of, I suppose, being soaked in water the whole time and that. So, yes.
Ah, that's interesting. And do you know what your parents were doing at the time that you were born in 1935?
Well, Dad had the market garden, and I think it was in the Depression when I was born, and he had cabbages and collies, and he used to cut them and take them to the East End Market. And obviously, most of the people didn't have any money in those days, and he would give away a few vegetables he would know of people who'd had nothing, and then he'd bring them all the way home and throw them out again and dig them in the ground, and then have to start again cutting the next day for the following market on the Wednesday, because I think it was market was Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays in those days. And of course it was all done by trolley, horse and trolley, taking up to the East End Market.
And what about your mum? What would she have been doing?
Well, she wasn't working like in the city at all then.
You told me that before she married, she had...
Before she married, she worked at Miller Anderson's in the millinery. She was a milliner there, and got 5 shillings a week for her. That was her wages. And she used to say they weren't allowed to have their lunches at the desks and things like that, but they used to sneak out so they could go walking up Rundle Street or something like that to do some shopping. And that's about it.
And
I think Mummy was busy home, like when Dad was like in the garden, and she was looking after the home and cooking like that, because later on Dad had tomato glass houses, and Mum used to sort the tomatoes in different grades, and I don't know where Dad did to sell them. Sorry.
That's all right. That's fine. And did you have any siblings?
Yes, I've got 2 children.
Your brothers, you brothers or sisters?
No, just raised my only brother. Yes.
And he was born a couple of years before,
Me. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And you were telling me you've got 2 children.
I have 2 children. Yes, a daughter and a son. And my daughter lives in Brisbane, and my son lives up Mile End Way.
Oh, right. And you're a grandmother?
No.
No?
No grandchildren.
But a great aunt?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And what about your grandparents? Like, can you tell me anything about your mother's side of the family?
Mum had... there was 4 daughters all together when they lived out at McLaren Vale. And one, I think it was Gertie her name was, I think she passed away when she was in her teens, I think it is. I don't know for sure. But there used to be an Aunt Mary and Aunt Evelyn, and Mum was the youngest.
And you had told me something about your grandfather dying quite young.
Yeah, Mum's dad, yes, about 46.
And so after that they left McLaren Vale?
Yes, and came, well, Grandma couldn't carry on the farm by herself, and so they came down where Ray said there was, because I have the address home, but I couldn't tell you offhand.
And do you know how your parents came to live on the property? Maybe if you can just tell me a little bit of, about where they were living when you were born.
Oh, I think Dad got the land through the returned soldiers, through the government, offering the soldiers some land. And Dad had like 7.5 acres, and sort of right on the main road. It was called St James's Park when I was young. And
and the road, what was that called at the time? Was it
was River Road, yes.
Which is now?
Finder Road.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and they used to have quite a lot of floods, a lot through the river because it was narrow. And when, because their house was right by the river, that was the highest part, and the water used to flow right down through to Grange Road.
Not through the house though.
No, not through our house at all. No, and Dad used to have his rubber boots on and go across to a neighbour, like a Mr. Britton Jones, because they used to have cows and he'd get some milk, a billy of milk from them.
And can you tell me where the Britton Jones lived?
They lived around in the bend in the river, like from where Dad was, you'd sort of go right around into a bend because we had Chinese across the road from us, and Britton Jones was sort of, his land was off from that.
And was that on the same side of River Road as your property?
No, it was on the other side of the road.
And so your family didn't have a cow?
No. Was it Demonato's? I
Deminato?
think it was Demonato's down from Dad's property at the end of the 7 acres. They had a bit of property there and they had a cow.
Right.
And yes, and the two girls, Maria and Anna, there.
So, if you were going away from your property towards Grange Road, so there was your family's property
Yes.
on the river, and then the next property was.
Demonato's small place, and then there was Miss Keel's, and then I think there was a little either Italian or Bulgarian house, I don't know the name of them, and then that was Valletta Road. So, and then after Valletta Road was sort of all market gardens, and I think we came on to, there was Smith's, and then there was, what was the other one, Ray? I've got a blank memory at the moment. There was Margaret Tilly's. And from there, I don't know sort of who had after that, but right up by the Grange Road, I think they had trotting horses. So I can't remember the name of them. And then across the road from Grange Road was Coles. They had, what I can remember now is fowls and almond trees. So.
Got a great memory. That's really good. And on the other side of River Road, the corresponding side, who owned all of that land then?
Well, there was Hop Sing, there was Chinese, he was straight across the road and he grew all different kinds of vegetables for the not East, the central market, and he used to sell from there. And then apart from that, like it was Britton Jones, and then over the years there was Anna and Melbourne
Ricky.
Rickies, yes. And then there was some other Italians, I think the other side of Rickies, but I couldn't tell you their name now.
And when you mentioned Miss Keel,
Yes.
do you remember the house that she lived in?
Yes, it was a real big home. I used to visit there with Mum occasionally, and we'd be sort of go through several of the rooms, and she had a lot of trees, I think, which her father grew around the house, and they suckered, and she, because her daddy planted them, she would not touch any of the suckers, so she had quite a jungle there after a while.
And what sort of trees were they? Like, were they fruit trees or?
No, sort of a type of ornamental ones.
And when you say the house was big, can you
Yes.
remember what it looked like?
Or like a big old-fashioned home, and like you had, I think, a main, a passageway right through with rooms off each side. I can vaguely remember going, I think, into the kitchen, but most of the other rooms we sort of never visited and go in to see at all. But and big high ceilings and things like that, like what they did in the olden days.
Was it a single-storey house?
I think it might have been, yes, but very tall, high ceilings.
And why would your mother have gone to visit?
She either had perhaps made a cake or something like that and just popped in probably to go and see how she was and getting on.
How old would she have been, roughly? Like, was she an old lady? Or?
Yes, she was elderly, yes. She would have been older, I think, than my mum was. But, I mean, when you're young, you don't take really any notice. You just say hello and talk to them and that's it.
And, Barbara, I was going to ask you about your earliest memories. What do you remember?
Or on the garden?
Or, yeah, just, you know, being a little girl.
Oh, full of fun and roughly no girls to play with. So, because every market garden around us all had boys, so I became, I suppose, what they call us as a tomboy. I climbed trees, I played down the river, and we used to catch yabbies down there. And apparently when my mum was first down there, there was no fences. It was quite a lot of willow trees. And often she'd come out in the morning to hang out the washing and there'd be a snake curled up on the back doorstep. So she had to wait till Dad came home from market to deal with it. So that was that there, yeah. And
what was your house like? Can you describe it to me?
Oh, quite a nice house. I think they built on a sleep out before the war because we all slept out there during the war because of the blackout. And there was a big our kitchen was large, and off of that was my bedroom eventually. And that was over a cellar because we did have a cellar. We just went out the back door and then down the steps. To the cellar. Mum used to keep eggs down there, all her preserves and everything else like that. And one time I think she had a separator down there. I don't know where she got it from, but I don't think we ever used it because we never had a cow. And they had a big back veranda, and off of that was our bathroom. And in those days you had an outside loo. And I think before Mum married Dad, I think he just had the kitchen and the bedroom and probably the back porch. So Mum said he had to get the lounge and the main bedroom before she'd marry him because she thought if she didn't, it would take too long to get it built. So that's how she stipulated that to have to be done before she'd marry him. Very nice place, you know, a house and that, full of fun. And we used to have cats to keep the mice down.
Were there many mice?
Mainly, so I think, down in the big sheds down the garden. Dad had one up sort of another big shed along the road. Mum used to sort tomatoes in that one because it was handy, I suppose, to load up wherever. I don't think they had a lorry then, and I suppose load them up then wherever Dad took the tomatoes. I know when he had celery, he would go up to Mile End and put the crates of celery on the railway line, which would be shipped to Melbourne. And I used to go with him and just watch.
And what do you remember about those trips? Was that with horses, or this was by the time?
By that time, it was the lorry. Yes, the lorry. Yes.
And what about the horses? Do you remember your dad having horses?
Yes, he had two horses. One, if he had a put away, like, because he had parts where they could just wander and eat the grass, and he'd have to tie the gates up because he thinks the horse came from a circus because he could open any gate. And you'd have to sort of catch him again. And I think he had another one called Darkie. And when he used to plough the furrows for the celery, he would put me on her back, on his back, and I would have the reins, and he'd say, point ahead of me and say, "See that post up there? I want you to head straight for that because I want straight furrows." And Dad used to just hold the plough by itself, and I'd just guide the horse up and down, ploughing the land for the celery.
And how old would you have been?
Oh, I don't know. Couldn't. Oh,
would you have been
5 or 6 or 7 or something like that, I would suppose, yes.
So you obviously felt pretty comfortable on the horse.
Oh, yes, yes. When I got, I think it was grade 6, Dad bought me a pony. So I used to go riding up Fenron Road and River Road in the pony.
And on the garden, like, how close was the house to River Road, your parents' house?
Oh, not that long, more or less very close.
Right. And
I mean, there's a pine tree now in there, which our mum and dad bought, and I used to jump that. So, because, I mean, we used to have the lawn, and then mum had, like, roses along the fence, and then straight across out the fence was the River Road. So we was right practically on the what you call right by River Road.
And you talked about a shed that was for the sorting and packing. And what other buildings were on the property?
Dad had a big shed down the bottom where he had used to get water from the river pump, and he had a well as well. And right next to that was a big shed, I think, where they kept the two horses, and had a big tank, round tank, and they used to wash. Mum used to help when we had the celery, wash the celery by hand first, and then they built a big long bench, and then Ray and Dad would have a real fierce hose, and they'd hose all the celery down then, and they would pack it then later on in, when Dad did celery.
And the celery, like you said, that when probably the first few years that your parents were growing, you know, cabbages and some tomatoes with glass houses,
mm-hmm.
When would they have started growing celery? Just roughly.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to ask Ray.
But at some point, your dad changed from growing the other
vegetables. Yeah, he changed from when after he had the tomatoes. And then, I don't know whether Wes started the celery first and then Dad started not long after, I shouldn't think, at all. One year he grew peanuts just for the fun of it. And outside of where our house was, there was so many orange trees, because when Dad first got the block, it was like a whole series of orange trees, quite a lot of them. And he had a dog, they had a dog then, and he used to warn them, like, people would like to come in and pinch the oranges off the trees and things like that. And I suppose he gradually cleared most of the land, because I can remember two rows of orange trees, and then they sort of gradually went, and that land, Dad used to grow his sow the seed for celery, and there was a lot of frogs around, I know, because my brother used to chase me with frogs. And like they would sprinkle all the seedlings, and then when they got to a certain height, they would sort of pull them and put them in another box, which would be lined with bags, and then Dad would dip them in the big tank, and then you'd wait till the afternoon, and then he would water all the furrows, and then you would go out like with the celery, and one would stand each side and would plant the celery, so in the furrows. So I did that. Ray had long service leave for 3 months, and I was working at Bickford's drug place in the city in the office. And then Dad got me exempt for the 3 months because he was growing food, and so I helped plant celery.
And how old would you have been then?
I would say 16.
Okay. Oh. And you mentioned the Wests. We
yeah.
didn't talk about your other neighbours
mm-hmm.
before.
Mm-hmm.
Where were the Wests?
Well, the property, the other side of Dad was Chinese, and he was called Yuki. And then the sort of the other side of Yuki's land, there was Liptick and I think R. Sam. And then the Wests had their property next door to that. And then from there was Burno's, and they shared a house with other Italians, which I can't remember the name, but probably Barry does. Oh, excuse me. And then there was, I don't know whether it was Collins's after that. And then there was Canino's. Excuse me, I'm going to cough again. Can you cut it out?
We're resuming the interview with Barbara, and you were telling me about when you thought your dad started growing celery.
Well, the only thing I can think of, I was at, went to school 5 years old, and there was you'd get what they call small celery, which was sort of no good for packing and taking sending away. So. We knew the teacher at school, she used to like celery, so I used to take a few stalks of celery, well, pieces of celery along, you know, plants along that, to her. And so that was in when I was in grade one.
Right. And we'll talk about you going to school in a little while, but I wanted to follow up something you said earlier about when you planted the celery,
yes,
and you waited till the afternoon. So you took the seedlings out of the soil, and then you put them.
Yes,
in.
You used to trim the roots and trim the top, and then pack them in like be like a tomato case size box, and that was all lined thing. And then when you'd sort of picked enough, what you thought you'd need, like plant so many furrows. Dad would soak the whole box and then put it on the bench, and then we wait till the afternoon, the hottest part of the day had gone, and then he would water all the furrows, and then you'd go along, have a bunch of celery in your hand or take a few bunches along the row, and then you'd start at the bottom and you'd put two fingers in and you'd make a hole and you'd put the celery in, then you'd slap the mud against it, and that was how we planted celery.
And how many plants to a furrow, you know?
I have no idea.
Hundreds?
Oh, possibly, yes. Because Dad used to work on one side and I'd work on the other side.
And how close would you plant them? What's that?
About 6 inches, Ray? About 6 to 8 inches, yes.
And what time of year are you talking about?
Oh, Yes, would have been roughly about October, I would think. Yeah, something like that.
And how long is the growing season for celery?
It was, because it had to grow up to a certain height, and then Dad had all these boards, which you, like both sides, and then you'd have like a big clip, and that used to bleach the celery. And so that would stay on for a while, then like before they picked it. Because it sort of grew up through winter, didn't it? Mm. And then it was more or less just, I suppose, roughly in the end of winter, and or they cut during the winter, I suppose.
And were you involved in doing that work as well?
I was involved. I used to, like, Dad had a tractor and sort of a jinker on the side, and I used to drive the tractor, and sometimes I'd put my children were a little bit younger then, and then I'd drive them around, and because as they cut the celery and trim the top, they would lay them in piles, and you'd pick them up and put them on the jinker, and then you'd take that into the shed, and from there it would go onto the bench and it'd be washed and then packed, and then some of the go into the press, and I would, my job at times would be to stencil the boxes with who it was going to and what kind of celery, the A grade and whatever. And then I would put a couple of boards across the top and then put the press down and hold it right down and lock it, and then I'd hammer the nails in into the box. But then someone'd have to lift it out for me.
Because it's heavy?
Yes. Yeah.
And how many grades of celery would there have been?
Two or three, right? Yeah, about that, yes.
And did you work in the garden with your dad as you were growing up?
Oh, possibly, because often, like, when he was watering something, or like even in the tomatoes, they probably perhaps carried some small buckets of tomatoes out and things like that. And I know, like, when he grew the celery, like, he would have, like, be watering it, and he would open so many of the furrows, and then you would go down the other end and you would signal up and down was to say that the furrow was finished with water. And if you did it crossways, you say it wasn't down properly. And then he would close, if it was finished, he would close that off and then open up other, like the whole paddock type of thing, go work across from one end to the other until they were all watered. And then at times when everything was finished, he'd say, just run down and switch off the pumps. And we used to do that just because it was electricity. And we'd just pull the lever and that was it.
And was your mum involved in the garden as well?
Yes. With the celery, not so much towards the end at all. But before, not when she used to hand wash it, that was involved quite a bit. And one year up near the house, she grew poppies, and she sold them to the florists, I think, locally. And that was just another little hobby, yeah.
And you said earlier about your dad growing peanuts.
Yeah, he did that one year just for the fun of it.
And what was involved with that? Same sort of system of furrows and...
Yeah, because the peanuts grow underground, the actual nut. So I just knew he did it, but I don't recall, you know, much involvement in it at all.
And where would he have sold the peanuts?
I don't know whether he did sell them, whether it was just only a small patch. I'd have to ask Ray.
And do you remember that, Ray?
Yeah. Yeah, it was only a small rows, couple of rows, that's it. Not very long. Yeah, 20 feet long, I suppose. That's all. It's just an oldie, I think.
Yeah, like an experiment.
And I think he grew some potatoes too, didn't he? Yeah, times.
It was just in the off season. When the celery's not growing.
And how long would there have been when the celery wasn't growing? So if the celery's planted in around October, and when would you have harvested?
6 months.
About 6 months from when it was fully grown.
Mm. So it was possible to grow other...
Yes, well, I think all the... like when you clean the celery, like before you sort of cut it and that and sort of laid it down, all the other parts were all ploughed in to sort of fertilising the ground.
Mm. One patch would be... finished of celery, so then you could cultivate that and then put your potatoes in, still growing celery. So it wasn't actually end of the celery season, it was during the celery season, and then you could grow it.
Because as your first lot planted, that would be like anything else, that would be up and ready before the other parts, you know, it was done in series of harvesting the celery.
And it sounds like it was a busy kind of life.
Oh yes, it was full on for Ray and Dad, yes.
And did your dad ever have anyone work for him?
Yes, he had some Chinese,
Italians,
and then when I was married, Russell, my husband, he used to come along and help, and he used to take some photos and things.
And how would your dad have got the Chinese and Italian people working for him? How would he have known?
Well, whether they approached him to see whether they could, work for him, if he had some, work, or whether having the Chinese around that... perhaps through conversation that Dad said like he'd employ some, and which he did.
Just come in.
Yeah.
If one come in, they start work, and they tell their mates and whatnot, they come in. Yeah, that's how it started. Didn't have to advertise or anything. They just
came, yeah.
You know, one chap there for years.
Mm-hmm. Mum had like an old chap. When the celery was finished, he would come and weed all her garden, because we used to have quite a bit of nut weed, and he would get stuck into the nut weed, and that gave him employment. And Dad used to, when he gave the wages, he would never give the wages on a Friday or Saturday. He would wait till Monday, because they had a habit of gambling. And to make sure that they knew that he would have food, like they would buy food instead of gambling all the money away. That's why he used to pay them on a Monday. So they'd buy their food, and then what they had left over, they could gamble.
And where did they live? These are the Chinese men.
Mm, would they have
lived locally? Or?
Oh, yes, they would have lived locally, because I think they mainly just walked to work, you know. So, yeah, I can't really say. I just knew they worked there, yeah.
And Barbara, I was going to ask you about school. Where did you go to school?
I went to school at the Lucklish Primary. There was only one school there, one big main building there.
And where's that located?
That was up Elston Street in Lucklish.
So on
across the other side of the road off Henley Beach Road.
So quite a walk for a small girl.
Yeah, well, my brother used to donkey me on his bike until I was, I think, in grade 3 that Dad bought me a bike. And then we used to ride our bikes. But there was hardly any traffic in those days. You might have seen, say, one car pass you from the river till you even got to Henley Beach Road.
And can you remember what that stretch of road looked like?
It was narrow, where you only had like one car coming one way and one going the other way. And on the side of the road there was nothing but a buckthorn and fennel growing on the sides of the road.
And how high would the buckthorn have been?
2 or 3 metres.
And was it called Rowles Road in those days?
Yes, yes.
Why was it called Rowles
Road? After Mr. Rowles, I suppose, which they lived quite close to Henley Beach Road, sort of on the bend. There weren't that many houses. Across the river from where Dad was, there was Mr. and Mrs. Taverner, and from there...
Did they have a garden?
They had a market garden, and they grew vegetables, and they did have glass houses. And I don't suppose I should say, but they used to get pig manure and spread it all over the ground, which was terrible until they dug it in.
Like the smell?
The smell, yes. And later on in years, when there was a few more houses, they were told to dig it in immediately and things like that. And then there was a big house on the, like what we called, there was sort of two sort of hills. One was small and one was sort of, further down the road was a little bit higher, and there weren't that many houses all the way down, apart from Taverner's, and then I've forgotten the lady's name, and then the other side was a Bulgarian, and then there was Houston's, and then from there right down to the bend of the road, before you turned around like to Henley Beach Road, that was all just empty paddocks, where all the trust homes are now, completely on both sides of the road. And on the west side of the road was all almond trees. And Mum took a photo one day of us amongst the almond blossom. And then there was a Dr. Bernardo. And if we used to have, sometimes in those days you'd get a pigsty. And she said, go and call in on the doctor on the way to school. And he'd come out and say, oh, you poor little dearie, here's some yellow ointment for you. And then there used to be Miss Gregg. She used to play the organ at the for the Church of England. And that's where we went, to the Church of England for Sunday school, because it was the closest to us.
Whereabouts was that?
They used to use the old RSL hall
on
where the Windsor Picture Theatre was there, and we used to have the front room for the church there, and then eventually, like when the Lockley School built a great big lunch room, and then they held the church service in there later on.
And did your parents go to church?
At times, yes. Dad was Presbyterian, and I think Mum was congregational, because I think that's what she had like when she lived out at McLaren Vale.
And did they attend church, or was it mainly about sending you?
Sending us to, you know, to Sunday school and things like that. And then I eventually became a teacher for other children. And then they were small, and then as they grew, they'd pat me on the head because I was smaller than what they were.
And what do you remember about school?
School? I remember the first day I went. I think it was quite a lot of girls. I don't know what grade they were, but I had about 20 of them showing me where the toilets were and where everything else was before school started. I can always remember a whole bunch of girls. around me, and then we all sort of had to assemble out the front, and the grade seven boys in those days used to play the flute and sort of pipe you into the classrooms, and of course the drums and the kettle drums and everything like that, which they had. But I think after the first year or second year, they just went by the board. You didn't have that. But you always had assembly out in the yard and that before you went into class.
And how did you like school?
I quite enjoyed it, yes. Sort of got mixed. Then you sort of got mixing with girls, which you didn't have sort of growing up with. And yes, it was quite good. Bit of a struggle sometimes with some of the lessons and things like that, but yeah.
And then when you finished primary school,
yes,
did you continue with school?
Yes, I went on to Theberton Girls Technical School.
Where was Theberton Girls Technical?
Up by Henny Beach Road and South Road. South Road.
And how would you have got to school?
Push bike. Rode your bike. Yes. By that time I had a bigger bike. Yes. And we used to ride all through the back streets, and sometimes I'd meet up with one of the other girls that was going there, and we would ride, and they had prefects on the gate, so you always had to wear your hat. So my hat didn't wear at all until I got about just before I got to the school, because you used to wear it, but you had it with elastic and it used to hang down your back.
And did you have to wear gloves as well?
Yes, I think we did. Yes, we. And we only had the one uniform, it was a straight navy one, and I think you used to wear a sort of a white blouse, and that was summer and winter uniform. You didn't have, not change at all for summer.
And when you say you went through the back streets, so yes, you were going from the river, Rowles Road, Findon Road, or River Road, and what was it like going through that?
Well, they were all gardeners, most of them, and you just sort of rode your bike and turned left or turned right and went into another street, and sort of till you more or less worked your way up to right South Road, and then you knew you'd just go along, because there wasn't that much traffic in those days. And the trams, you know, went up and that's how you just sort of rode into school and put your bike in the racks and into class.
And how many years of high school did you do?
I went right through. I went to second year. First year was always general, and then I went into commercial after that. And
And so you finished second year?
Second year, and then I went to a business college in Pirie Street and learned the contometer. And that was a machine that added up, divided and took away and did something else. and when you worked, went to this place, they got you a job. So they got me a job at Bickford's and Sons.
And where was that located?
That was located in on Henley Beach Road. Was it Lee Street? It was on the corner.
Like Curry Street? In the actual city?
No, not really. It was across from one of the banks. I think it was as a the little street down by Bickford's. I don't know whether it was Lee Street. Oh, wasn't it dreadful? I mean, they keep changing all these names.
No, that's all right. How would you get to work then?
Rode my bike. Oh, I went by tram first. I think it was 6 months to go from Lockleys up into the, or more or less, you caught the tram and that right by King William Street. And then they gradually put the price up to 9p, and I thought, I'm not paying 9p. So I started riding my bike. So from then I rode into the city every day.
And earlier you spoke about having a horse when you were in year six.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you ride the horse?
Along River Road, and then probably or cut through Valletta Road, and then down Frogmore Road, because Frogmore Road was only just a dirt track with the Boxthorn and Fennel as well. And then there used to be another lady up in Lockleys that we knew, and she had a big paddock by the side of her place, and she used to come along and meet me at where my old home was, and we'd go riding together, and we'd go just down everywhere we went on the horse, and then we'd come back and I would drop off at my place, and then she'd carry on back to her place, and we used to go all over the place with the horse.
Did many children have horses at that time?
No, it's just I liked them. Oh, well, when we went out to, we used to go, like Ray and I, we used to stay out at our cousins at McLaren Vale. And Rita, one of the cousins, all the girls, they rode horses out on the farm. And Rita was, she used to ride in the Royal Show and in all the other country shows. And she used to get quite a lot of prizes. So I used to sort of ride, you know, and you'd, should say, going over to the 60 acre and open the gates and like that, and then you'd, because they had draft horses to pull the ploughs and everything like that, and the 60 acre was sort of just all left, and you get lovely lots of mushrooms in that in the year, and so you just sort of open the gate and all the draft horses are going down to their stable, or have a drink in the trough first and then into their stable. And that was done every night. Mm.
And what was your horse's name?
Johnny.
Johnny.
Yes.
And how long did you have Johnny?
Well, I had him in 6 and 7, and then I had him when I was in high school. And I think I had him right through, I had the 2 years at high school, and perhaps another 2 years after that, perhaps 6 years altogether. And then Dad knew a friend who had a place out in the country, so I rode Johnny all the way up to Mile End railway tracks, and then we put him on one of the carriages and he went off. And that was it. And he went to a good home. Someone younger enjoyed his company.
So it was time to...
It was time to carry, move on.
And when you were doing the riding around the area, what were the roads like?
Mainly all dirt tracks, dirt roads, yes. Until you got onto, say, a main road or something like that, but... Mainly the main roads always had like a big, like you only, they were only sort of one up and one down, unless you got out onto the port road. When we sort of had our push bikes, you could, on the port road you had a bike track going down towards the port, and then you had a up track on the other side of the road, and so you were never involved with motor cars or anything like that. You just had the... bike track to yourself.
Was the bike track in the middle?
Yes, in the middle of the port ride, yes. Where all the... They just did away with them, which is bad luck.
And which would have been the main roads in your area growing up?
Valletta Road, I think, was bitumised. River Road, Grange Road, that was quite only one up and one down, narrow. Probably Tapley's Hill Road. And I think that would have been, because we didn't stray that much, you know, at all.
Henley Beach Road.
Yes, that was, yes, because I had trams. And they used to go down to Henley Beach, or they stopped at Lockleys and then fixed up the line, like with the prop, what they had were on the electrical type of thing. And that's where I used to catch, you know, they used to come down and then they'd sort of go down further and switch the lines over and then come back again to go up to the city.
And if you think about the land, say, between Valletta Road and Grange Road, what would that have been like to look at when you were say, growing up?
Or market gardens, yes. Some of the Italians used to grow lettuces. Others had glass houses. I can't remember what the Smiths had, though I know the Tillys had, he used to go grow all carrots. And
So there was quite a lot of market gardens in
oh,
the
yes,
area.
yeah, on
Yeah.
both sides of the road, yes.
Well, Barbara, thank you for the interview today, and we'll continue with your interview another time. So thank you very much.
Thank you for asking me.